May the Force be with you, everyone. This is Let's Talk About Star Wars with me, Garrett Weinzierl, her, Jenny Josephson, and him, Tom Merritt. Welcome back, everyone. We technically skipped a month by one day.
It's February 29th.
Yeah.
We're fine.
We're instituting February our own 29th. Leap year. We're declaring.
My nephew was born on March 1st, and he was like, wow, I totally skated out of a problem there, not being born on February 29th.
I have a feeling that folks born on the 29th on a leap year just figure something out.
Oh, yeah. No, they still get to celebrate, but it's never on the day.
Cool.
I don't know about you guys, but when the 80s hit and my mom started working, our birthdays started to happen on other days anyway, whether they were leap year birthdays. None of us were leap year birthdays.
Gotcha. Yeah. Now mine still calls me even today, like to this very day, like, oh my God, happy birthday, son. And I'm like, thanks, mom.
My mom texts me.
How did we get on the outer rim of tangents?
Yeah, right.
because we want to know who Ray's mom is.
Yeah. Right. So we started talking about moms.
Yeah. That's going to be the big clue in The Last Jedi will be, she's going to receive a text and we'll be able to tell who her mom is. By the types of emojis that are sent in that happy birthday text.
She was going to be born on Choctaw Hooktu, which is the Jakku leap day.
Well, this has been great.
This is what happens when, you know, the hosts of a certain podcast only talk to each other once a month. You have those weird, like, lame jokes that you have between friends that everyone else would just be like, I don't know about this. But anyways, let's talk about our, real quick before we get into it, let's thank our extended group of friends supporting the show over at patreon.com/letstalkaboutstarwars. If you like the show and you can suffer through awkward beginnings, consider supporting us over there. Now, as usual, let's go around the table and see how Star Wars is treating everyone. I'll pitch to Jenny first. Jenny, personally, what has been you know, getting you giddy in the world of Star Wars?
Well, I think we talked last month about how I had caught up on many of the Star Wars comics because I got Marvel Unlimited. So I'm sort of in like a Star Wars drought. I have like a stack of books that are coming, but like no time to read them. So I'm sort of limited to like being really excited about tweets. And my current, I know, it's really sad. My current favorite Star Wars tweeter is the now reigning king, sadly, of Star Wars tweeters, Mark Hamill. And what's so cool is, for me personally, is that every once in a while, he will start tweeting about Mara Jade. It's usually in reaction to a fan, but there was one that caught my eye just like a little while back, like late February, where he like retweeted a fan saying like Mara Jade and Luke forever, and then he tweeted like, yup, I always wanted a girlfriend or something. I can't pull up the tweet even though I just found it.
He always bugged George for a girlfriend. Yes. And got one year after they stopped those movies. Yeah.
And now, that's an older one. And for some reason, my tweet was a more recent one. But anyway, if you watch Mark Hamill's feed, what was exciting to me is that even though he wasn't like in any of that, like personally in that extended universe, like personally hanging out in it, he's aware of it. He liked the character, and it just made me wonder all over again if either path of Star Warsia, whether it's Rebels, whether it's the Last Jedi, is creeping ever closer to my favorite redheaded sassy assassin.
I'm glad that you're taking this and being excited about it, being happy about it, being enthusiastic about it, because like I feel like if I had the reverence for an extended universe character like you do with Mara Jade, and I saw Mark Hamill tweeting about it, I would just be like screaming into the ether, like, you can't do this to me. I can't take this tease.
Well, and it's all tied up with like, oh, they put Thrawn, but they put him in Rebels. Mm-hmm. We don't know who Rey's mom is. Maybe it's Luke. And if so, does that mean there's a Mara? And so I could totally see it getting you going when he doesn't at reply, just out of nowhere, sitting around at 3:28 a.m. on April 24th, 2016.
Yeah, says, that's the older one.
Always been fascinated by Mara. Like, you know, like that's just, that's out of nowhere.
It's just a clue. To me, it's just a clue of some kind. And now actually what I've been thinking is that now that God bless her soul, Carrie Fisher is gone, you've lost your strong female, in the dominant female in the Star Wars canon. Like, she is gone from any real life portrayal. And so the question becomes, what other strong female could they just kind of easily slide in there? So anyway, my curiosity and fanfic mind has gone to light speed.
I think I've got it.
I've got it.
So maybe they put her in Rebels just as a deceit, right? Mm-hmm. She's the hand of the Emperor and all that. But then turns out that she and Luke never got together in this reality, right? In this new universe, until they find an old disillusioned woman on Jakku, and she's Mara Jaded.
Oh, what if she's that old lady scrubbing the...
Oh, my God. she was watching over Rey the whole time.
The one Rey looks at.
All right, well, I've taken
like,
up enough time with
you.
My wild, sick fantasy.
Oh, man. That's, I love those reaches by Mr. Tom Merritt. I love them.
Yep.
I do my best.
Well, I took your suggestion to heart, Tom, and have completely consumed the Ahsoka novel. In between our last episode and this one, which for me in the speed I read at is quite the accomplishment, even though it's...
What'd you think?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Oh, I really did. And there was a moment, I think a third of the way in where I'm like, is this really going to be it? And it kind of ended up really being it. But like a few pages later, I don't know, I just got sucked in. There was a point where I'm like, is this really going to be about farmers? And it's the most badass story about space farmers you'll ever read.
They are badass space farmers too. That's the point. You know, that's the key.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I really enjoyed it. I liked how they, took a cue from all of the little kind of aside stories that happen in the Aftermath novels, except it, in this case, they were all kind of laser focused on Ahsoka, filling in even more of the gaps in between Clone Wars and Rebels. And the overall arc I found really great. And, it's hard to, Jenny, have you read it?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So can we get spoilery? Yeah.
Let's geek out.
All right. As always, this show, spoiler alert for like everyone, including like the hosts here, because generally I get spoiled on things that I'm just not caught up to yet. And that's totally fine, because eventually I'll get to it. But I don't even know why I didn't realize, having watched Rebels, that I cared about where her lightsabers came from. Like her new ones, like it didn't even dawn. Like, I remember when she showed up in the show thinking, oh, that's cool. She has white lightsabers. That's interesting. And then there were some interviews where they talked about the meaning of the fact that they're white as opposed to a different color. But the story they tell towards the very end of this book and her actually finding new kyber crystals and creating them, it just gets my like Star Wars nerd gears just turning at a rapid pace. I found it surprisingly satisfying.
Yeah, I loved it. And I was not a fan of backpack Soka. Little girl running around with a backpack, awkwardly yelling about things. And I just like, I respected why they did that, but I wasn't a fan. But I'm pretty much fully in love with wounded adult Ahsoka.
Adult
and I
Soka.
Really like, yeah, adult Soka. And I really enjoy, that this little glimpse into where she was hiding out all these years. And I think, you know, there's some pretty modern subtext going on in that book, which I won't spoil, but it's just these like nice little edges into deeper characterization of all of these characters. I mean, if you think about it, like original characters in Star Wars, New Hope are pretty, they're awesome. They're our heroes, but they're pretty thin, right? It's like Luke is a innocent farm boy and Carrie Fisher is badass princess and Han Solo is a Western guy. And only over the years have they actually thought to give these characters like really serious backstory. And I like that they're just handling these now with such care, with a character that a lot of people really love and still want to know what happened to after Rebels.
Yeah. I agree entirely.
My mind is just flying off still on the lightsaber bit, wondering if we're going to see Rey build her own lightsaber.
I hope so. So the packaging came out, like we saw the packaging for Last Jedi toys or whatever, and so it has a new shot of Rey and also Finn and Poe, except Finn and Poe look like they're wearing the exact same things from the previous movie. But Rey actually has like a new hairdo and everything, but she's wielding Luke's/Anakin's lightsaber. I'm getting off the Ahsoka but whatever the case is, I'm gonna be weirdly disappointed if she does not build a double bladed lightsaber, because we saw her fighting with a staff throughout the first half of
and I want it to be a Force Awakens.
I think we have to earn that, right? Like, I think that's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm really enjoying.
Well, that's why I want to see her build it, right? Instead of Luke, where it's like, oh, I built a lightsaber between the last movie and now. So it's all good.
Well, that's
I have so many theories, and I'm going to save them for later in the show, because my mind has just gone a million miles an hour into speculation rim. I have some thoughts, so I'm going to write them down and hold them. But they do have to do with Ahsoka.
Okay. Oh, well, all right. Well, then maybe I should hold mine as well.
I think it pertains to our actual topic.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm gonna write that down as well. But back to the book real quick. The other thing I really found myself enjoying about the book was just this portrayal of Ahsoka as like she's basically like the wandering knight or like a Ronin. She's like grew up in this strictly regimented society and it's just not around anymore, but she can't shake, you know, what she learned from that experience and the person that she is. I'm glad I got that story. So,
yeah. Agreed.
Definitely.
Tom, how about you? What have you been up to?
Well, for a short period of time in January, my life turned into a country song. My basement flooded, my dog died, and my heater broke. But then I finished that week by going to Disneyland. And
there's not a way,
first time I'd ever been to any Disney property in my 46 years on this earth, and got to go on Hyperspace Mountain and Star Tours.
How is Hyperspace Mountain? Every time I end up in Disneyland, which is rare because I live on the other coast, the line is like 3 hours long. So I don't end up going.
Here's the beauty of if anyone out there is like, what are you talking about? Hyperspace, it's Space Mountain. No, it's Hyperspace Mountain now, because it's the beginning of them building the Star Wars area of Disneyland. We had our fast pass for Hyperspace Mountain. We show up and it's broken.
Oh,
and so that's the bad news. The good news is they think it's going to be fixed, and anyone with a fast pass will be able to ride it anytime. Between the, you know, once it's fixed, but they don't know when. So we go and we do a couple other things and we time it perfectly. We come back right as they've opened it. We're like, we have to wait like 10 minutes to get on the ride. And it was fantastic. My wife loved Space Mountain. It was her favorite thing growing up. Yeah. And so I was wondering, like, now that they've Star Wars'd it up, which she's a big Star Wars fan, was it going to be good or bad? She was already screaming like the first few minutes into the ride, this is better. Because you've got X-Wings coming at you and TIE fighters. And it's just fantastic. I wish I could have recorded that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, because I grew up in Space Mountain as well. Now, Space Mountain is different here on the East Coast than it is on the West Coast. There's differences between them. But I'm in the camp of, yeah, let's update this stuff. But maybe that's just because I'm not like, I'm the opposite of Tom. I have been to Disney more times than I can remember. Mm.
And Star Tours was fun. It was just really short. Like, I really enjoyed it. Lots of cool stuff, things to look at on your way in the line with C-3PO and the shuttle and all of that. And it's one of those really cool simulation things, and you feel like you're flying, you know, through the Star Wars universe, which is great, but it felt like it was 2 minutes long.
Now that I was out of there. It is short, but my question to you though is, did you ride it more than once?
No, we didn't have time.
because you know the draw to that, right?
Yeah, there's different scenarios, right?
Yeah, it's the two planets you visit are randomized. In recent years, whatever the new planet was guaranteed every time. Like right now, I think Jakku might be a guaranteed visit, and there's just one randomized planet
flying above Jakku.
Okay, yeah, so that might be the case. But yeah, that's fun. Anytime I end up going to the park, I usually over here, it's in Disney Hollywood Studios, which used to be MGM. They lost the license, yada yada. We'll always go there first, so we can ride it like four times in a row, like right when the park opens.
Trivia question, answer for anyone who ever gets stuck in the most boring game ever. Trivia about Tom Merritt going to Disneyland: the first ride I ever went on in Disneyland was Buzz Lightyear. So there you go.
That's a fun ride.
That's fun. And it was short line. And it was, you know, it's a good introduction.
And you get to shoot things.
But anyway, the other thing I wanted to mention was, because of all of that stuff that happened, I kind of fell behind on the comics. I just caught up on those. And I haven't been able to jump into Empire's End, which is the latest Aftermath yet, which I'm really, really, really wanting to do, because apparently we find out the fate of Jar Jar in this book in one of the side scenes.
Yeah, which I heard about, and I was like, well, I don't think I'm going to lose any sleep over this, like, so I'm just going to spoil myself on it now, because I'm behind on Aftermath as well. I'm actually only about a third of the way through Life Debt right now, which I started up after Ahsoka. I actually bought the book before Ahsoka, but then after Tom talked about it last episode and I ordered it and it showed up, I'm like, you know what? Screw you, Life Debt. I'm coming back to you later. So I read that bit on Jar Jar. Did either of you?
No,
I did, but I'm not going to say it to Tom Merritt.
Okay, all right. So we'll save that for next time. We'll save it for next time. next time on Let's Talk About Star Wars, we talk about the fate of Jar Jar Binks. Stay tuned.
Misa can't wait.
Oh, that's so awful. It's so delightfully.
It makes you want to actually spoil it. Now.
Awful.
Yeah, so, I love it. So,
speaking
Let's
of.
Let's just say it's so consistent. Anyway, that's all.
So, speaking of the comics, for our listeners out there, and totally not for me personally in any way, shape, or form, if one was to have never read any of the new Star Wars comics, where should one start?
I don't know what you think, Jenny. I would say start with Star Wars, the main line. And then add in Vader, so you can get the Vader down crossover. And then you could kind of branch out from there.
I was not actually aware there was one that was just called Star Wars.
They're a little confusing. So, you know, what one could do... Well, one is not going to say what one could do on the internet, but one will call you or email you later. let's just put it that it is hard a little bit to keep track of what all the different comics are and how they interweave and how all the name, like there's comics for each character, like Leia, Lando. It's like one complete book full of different comics, and that's good. The hard part is that those Star Wars ones have now been coming out for quite some time. So 1 through 20, I think, are available on Marvel Unlimited. And then like maybe the next 6 or 7 aren't, and you'd have to go get those in a store. It's hard and also expensive to get all of the Star Wars comics that have come out since. So, you know, insert what nice thing Jenny might do for you later because you don't want to buy all those things.
Gotcha. Noted. I have noticed, and it pains me to say these kind of things, but money is money. Usually when I go to Amazon, trade paperbacks for comics are pretty darn cheap compared to if I were to go down to my local
But if you get
shop.
Marvel Unlimited, you get access to all of them, Jenny?
Yeah, you get access to... First of all, you get, let me just, not to plug Marvel Unlimited, but you get access to 20,000 different Marvel comic books. So for the rest of my life, I could be reading Marvel comic books. And you not only get the more recent, like 2015 onward Star Wars-y stuff, 2014, you get all the old ones too.
Yeah, the Dark Horse stuff.
So the original Last Jedi comic?
Yeah. Like you get them all. So I think, honestly, if you just committed to 1 year of Marvel Unlimited for $99, you get, I just got a bunch of fun Marvel toys in the mail too, as just like a bonus and a couple of comics. I feel like you could spend your whole year just reading Star Wars comics and it would be worth it and deductible.
Yeah, obviously.
obviously. So yeah, so that would be my recommendation to you and anyone is like, just get Marvel Unlimited for a year or, you know, find a friend somewhere in the galaxy and get into it, because I find them, especially the Star Wars Invader downline, to be very sophisticated storytelling, worthy of the Marvel name.
Right. I've heard nothing but good things, but I've been, as listeners can tell, catching up on the novels alone. But I mean, it doesn't take me long to breeze through from comics. I've just been curious where to start, because I've heard so many good things about it. I just, every time I get together with my Star Wars pen and paper role playing group, our pilot just keeps going on and on about the Poe Dameron comic.
Yeah, those are
it's
good
gotten
too.
Really good. Actually, I have to say that might be my third one after. It's hard to say. The Lando one's short, but it's really good. The Leia one's got some cool stuff in it. Poe Dameron, I wouldn't have put in its class, but it's gotten there.
Hmm. Yeah, I got stuck on the first one because like they were relying a little too heavily on Poe Dameron saying, "Hey, buddy," like all the time. And I was like, please don't overuse a thing I really love from the movie.
His name is Snap, okay?
Poe,
call him Snap, not Buddy.
Buddy! Yeah.
No, I totally get it.
It was just like too, you know, when a character isn't its own thing, but they're just using lines from the movie. It's a little like that in the beginning. So I like that Tom has told me that it gets better.
As it's gotten better, there has been a dearth of Snap Wexley, though. That's one negative.
Well,
I'm starting to think you can't have one without the other, but Snap, wherever Snap goes, something goes wrong.
I hate to ponder like, that.
You know, giving away the Rebel base location. Have we
crashing
not learned?
The lost airplane. Snap. No, wait. That's just Grunberg. That's
you have three full-length novels of Snap and appearances in the actual movie, Tom. I think you can make it. Also, thank you, because your own personal Snap Wexley meme has made it hard for me to take anything with Snap serious now that I've picked up the second Aftermath book.
Which is all about the backstory of Snap Wexley, I know.
Is it funny? Is it? Like, I'm a third of the way through it. It didn't seem like it was delving into that yet. It's all about, like, certain characters that you wouldn't think would be sleeping together.
You know, nothing about these Aftermath books makes me want to read them.
I keep saying things.
I keep telling you there's a lot of Snap Wexley. What about that is not appealing?
Fair enough.
Tom, clearly being a massive Snap fan, I don't want to take anything away from the best character in the history of Star Wars, but after having started reading Life Debt, I forgot how much I liked the character of, what was it, Sinjir?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's a good, deep character.
I love that character. And I totally forgot about him. I guess I was just remembering the parts of Aftermath that bored me and not the parts that I actually enjoyed, which were pretty much any scene with Sinjir.
Point proven.
Yeah.
Well, and they basically, he took all of the really good characters he created and put them into Life Debt. And then started having them do really cool things.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, Jenny, I realized I did a bad job selling it, but so far I'm really enjoying Life Debt, especially compared to Aftermath.
All right. How about we get on to the next segment?
All right.
Because somebody who makes an appearance in Empires or in Life Debt is Han Solo, who's going to get his own whole movie.
Whoa!
Which is not news to anyone listening to this, but what is news is that we actually have a release date.
And it's a pretty significant one.
It is.
May 4th. No, I'm kidding. No. May 25th, 2018. Same day that Star Wars, as it was called at the time in 1977, came out.
Just got a little shiver all over. Whew. It also,
what about that cast
it,
photo, too?
I know. Also, isn't it the first Star Wars movie to actually make it out in May?
Well, since the Force Awakens, yeah.
I mean, they haven't scheduled release dates per se for the last one. So.
They scheduled Episode 8 to come out in May and moved it to December. So right. Yeah.
I thought Rogue One was supposed to be a summer movie and was moved to
Rogue
December
One
well.
Was right. supposed to be as well and okay. they moved it too.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So can we say that the Han Solo movie has been scheduled for May 25th, 2018, but we all know it's just going to get moved to December.
Get moved to December.
I would just like it to move to November so that it is eligible for more Oscar consideration, because I feel like these movies are getting like the tiniest bit gypped in the Oscar categories.
Really? Do you think it matters?
I don't know, but they don't. It's like, unlike other Oscar movies, they don't send out screeners ahead of time.
Oh, that's true. That's the problem, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. It's like a weird Hollywood in jerk thing.
Like it wouldn't matter if they could send out the pre-screeners because that's what they do for everything else.
Right. But they're never going to do that for a Star Wars movie. So right. it's a weird thing when it really comes out on December 25th, like half the voting for the Globes is over.
I do like it being my Christmas time tradition.
Yeah.
Now.
For me personally, I love December because that's when all my buddies I grew up with that don't live here anymore are usually back in town visiting family. And we can all get together like it's freaking high school again and go see Star Wars.
Make yourself some blue milk cocoa. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I just want Star Wars to get some award respect.
Yeah.
But probably not at the expense of Christmas. I'll give you that.
No, Star Wars at Christmas time is greater than Star Wars getting Oscars as far as I'm concerned.
Fair enough. Are we jazzed about the cast? Is the cast jazz-worthy?
I was already pretty jazzed about Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian. Yeah. Alden Ehrenreich was good and Hail Caesar. I can't wait to see what he does with Han Solo. Woody Harrelson as the mentor seems like a pretty cool idea. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what Emilia Clarke is going to do, but I have never disliked anything I've seen her do yet. So then it's down to what are these other people whose names are harder to pronounce going to do? Thandie Newton, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and Junis Suotomo.
Yes, and can we see Maz Kanata? Like, is there a chance of that? Like, you understand that now Maz Kanata can be in every movie for 1,000 years prior to The Force Awakens.
Right. So,
like,
Snoke, Maz Kanata, and Yoda can be in every movie.
Every movie. So, like,
well, actually, Maz can be in more movies than Yoda because Yoda is probably, I mean, you know, like, he's not, you know, he can force ghost his way in, I guess.
That's right. But I think Maz is my new favorite character that I'm still not seeing enough of in other properties, so I hope they have some serious plans for her in the main Skywalker.
I feel like they're saving her up.
Yeah.
But there's more to her, but
I want a Maz Kanata movie. I'm sold.
That's the vibe I'm getting as well, is that there's a little more to her.
If I were to say it in Spanish, I would say Maz Kanata, por favor.
But then we might get confused and go.
And then Jeff Kanata would show up. Yeah.
The two ends of one.
And he would go, dad joke. In Espanol.
Yeah, I've been for whatever reason lately had a hair to go and rewatch Community, so I have fallen in love with Donald Glover all over again.
Yep.
And I'm very excited for him as Lando. Other than that, Woody Harrelson and Emilia Clarke are the only other actors I'm even familiar with in this. Thandie Newton. I've seen Westworld. Now I know who she is.
Westworld.
Now I know who she is.
Pretty pumped.
Yep. Okay.
She's going to be playing a robot. No, I don't know. No, I don't think she is. The other, Junis, I think, is playing a robot.
She was in Mission Impossible 2?
Right. Yeah.
Man, I haven't seen that movie since Limp Bizkit was big.
Well, there you go. okay, wait. So are we doing the next one or are we holding that for the topic?
Let's hold that for the topic. Planning podcasts while recording them. So
Rival.
Yeah. Someone please tell me exactly if we can just take the headline. What exactly in the hell is Star Wars Rivals?
Lucasfilm has applied for a trademark on Star Wars Rivals. It was a tweet from Max Palace of Star Wars Post. There's two marks that have been registered. One of the applications is for education and entertainment services, and the other is an apparatus for recording, transmission, or reproduction of sound or images, audiobooks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, basically covering merchandise and recordings. So it's kind of what you would do if you were creating something that you were going to turn into a theme park, merchandise, and DVDs, recordings, et cetera. Whether that means movie, TV show, or comic book, actually, it's impossible to say from this.
Gotcha. So it could be just about anything.
Star Wars Rivals could be just a book. It could be a set of coloring books.
To me, it sounds like a video game.
It could be a line of binoculars.
I heard this and I was like, oh, new Star Wars video game. But for whatever reason, my brain immediately just filed it under crappy mobile game because that just sounds
one
like
of the trademarks is for protective face masks, not for medical purposes. That's my guess.
Oh, well, there we go.
I will accept no less than a totally limitless game experience similar to whatever Knights of the Old Republic was, but with better graphics. like Fallout 4, but for Star Wars.
That's the one thing that neither of these trademarks really points to. I mean, they could cover that theoretically, but it's not the most obvious trademarks that you would pull out for video games, but it could be. A lot of people are saying, oh, we're going to wrap up Rebels soon, and then we'll go to Star Wars Rivals, and that'll be the successor TV series, which is plausible, I guess.
Yeah. Or it'll be what Jenny suggested. So when you see Peter Molyneux get on stage at E3 and start talking about Star Wars Rivals, you know exactly what to expect.
Totally.
Yeah. All-encompassing game that you can never get away from.
I'm ready. Like, all parts of me are ready. Just feed me the gruel from the Matrix. I'll be there.
All right. Is it time to spoil the most recent episode of Rebels?
Sure.
Have we all seen it?
Just a little bit. Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay.
We're just going to spoil the office scene, right? That's not that bad.
I would also like to drop the spoiler of it was a fantastic episode, and so has been the very few episodes that have come out since the new year.
Yeah, dude.
Since we recorded the Sabine episode aired as well. That was some phenomenal freaking Star Wars story.
Mm-hmm. The Mandalorian stuff. Yeah. With some of my favorite Star Wars Clone Wars stuff was the Mandalorian plot lines. And so Sabine being my favorite Star Wars Rebel character, getting to dig back into the Mandalorian story, I found immensely entertaining.
Yeah, I was picking back through Clone Wars for two reasons. One, it's leaving Netflix at the end of the month, or it's gone, I think, officially as of today, right?
Yep.
I thought it was.
It left February.
Oh.
Okay. And then two friends of mine who are very much into Star Wars couldn't get into it. So I was trying to find the point where I got really into it, and it was the first episode with Obi-Wan and the Duchess on Mandalore. That in season two, I feel like, was the point where that show really found its footing and took off. Sadly.
I'm so glad I finally watched that arc, that last arc that I watched. Jeez. I'm like super sad right now.
Yeah, I wonder where it's going, or if it's not going anywhere, and they're just going to be like, sorry, buy it on Blu-ray. But
grumble. Unless there's a Star Wars cable channel coming in, or streaming channel, in which case, all in.
Yeah, sign me up. Anyways, back to the most recent episode of Rebels. So, spoiler alert, there's a scene in Thrawn's office that happens. But probably the thing a lot of folks are talking about is the gross amount of Easter eggs just peppered around his museum/office.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Are we going to spoil all of them, or are we just going to like
spoil a few of them? We could be here all night if we spoiled all of them. The Holy Grail from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade is my favorite, right as you're walking into the office.
But explain that significance, because there was some weird non-canon link to it that I didn't fully understand. I suppose it could be Googled.
I didn't know that, so yeah. I can't.
It's referencing.
I just know it's the cup of a carpenter.
It's referencing Into the Great Unknown, a 10-page non-canonical story where there's a Indiana Jones and Han Solo crossover.
I love it.
Yeah.
The one I liked the most was the password that turns off these critical robots that are involved in the episode. The password is, I guess, Rook, which is basically the name of a character from the Timothy Zahn books, without giving away too much more. Pretty cool.
A significant character to Thrawn.
Significant, yes.
Yeah.
Pretty rad.
Quite significant, as it turns out, seeing as I never read it, and the article pointing out these Easter eggs totally spoils it for me.
Well, it doesn't spoil. Oh, well, yeah. That's fair. Okay, anyway. But it's pretty good.
You should
be reading those books already, dude.
I have things that actually happen in the world of Star Wars to read.
Oh,
smack talk.
Burn. Laser burn. Also, legendary artist Ralph McQuarrie's painting that was used by the Rebels crew to create Lothal. It was made by McQuarrie long before Rebels, obviously. But it was their inspiration, and they put it up on the wall in Thrawn's office.
Yeah, and they've been doing this a lot on Rebels, repurposing old McQuarrie concepts that never saw the light of day.
They are lore nerds.
Yes. Zeb, for example, is taken directly from an unused concept for Chewbacca. And so are the weird bulbous spider creatures around the Rebels base.
On Lothal. Not on Lothal. The secret planet.
Yeah, they hang out around Archer Base. I don't remember Archer Base. No, oh my God, the droid name. Chopper base.
Chopper base. Yeah. Speaking of which, we're about to get, and this hasn't aired yet, an episode of Rebels Stand Against the Empire, which references Dantooine on Dantooine, and Mon Mothma shows up in the trailer and pretty much is like, yeah, I started all this rebellion crap. It's me.
Well, that's good, right? Because they did actually investigate Dantooine, but they found an old, unused base, correct? Or no longer in use base.
Well, remember, he lost stars. We actually see them investigating and seeing that they had been, that the rebels had been there, but had left long ago.
Oh, that's right. So, oh, my God. I forgot about that.
So things are getting super timeline specific here.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't think any of us have read Empire's Ed yet, even though it's chilling right next to Life Dead for me, but I'm kind of hoping for a Lost Stars crossover near the end of that movie.
In fact, there was one point in this last episode of Rebels when a woman walks by and I'm like, is it? No, and it's not her. Never mind.
Sad. Very sad, but Rebels is killing it. I'm ready for more episodes, and not just because I still don't know what's happening to Ahsoka.
I know. Are we just not going to get that answer?
Yeah. I went back and rewatched the finale from last season, and I completely missed the like half second scene where you see her exiting.
Walking
away, like down into a.
Oh, no, they're saving that. That season finale.
I thought it was left a little more ambiguous than that, but the fact that like that shot's in there, it's like, oh, she's definitely alive. Yeah. It's all good. And I also.
Wait, so. Could we potentially have all right, here I have to pose a bigger Rebels question, right? So obviously this is getting perilously close to the timeline that we have seen in the movies. But also Rebels is on Disney XD, right? Which is a Disney channel.
Yep.
Which they have like, they don't let people die in Disney stuff very often. I mean, like parents, whatever, in all the Disney movies.
You're a
parent. I guess my question is like, can these characters that form the entire crew of the Ghost and associated characters like Ahsoka, will they actually knock them off in a children's show?
Can you kill a main character in a 7+ series? Yeah. That's a very good question.
And
well, having
if
Ahsoka's
not,
like rather ambiguous death could be that's as far as we can go in a 7+ series. However, I feel like they would have come out and let us know that after the fact.
Right. And I think actually it actually leads into our next topic. So maybe I'll hold that.
I mean, Sesame Street killed Mr. Hooper. I mean, actually,
the
actor just died. They didn't actually kill him, but they dealt with it, you know.
The quandary
or
is.
Did they?
The storytelling quandary when it comes to Rebels is, with the exception of a character that's named in Rogue One, right? A report to the base, this little cameo aside, and the fact there are many satisfying storytelling endings that a 7+ series does not allow. In terms of Star Wars storytelling that we have come to know and expect after Force Awakens, like that level of character knockoffery, even what the hell from New Hope, they knocked off Obi-Wan. Like Star Wars does not exist without loss. So I'm very curious to see how they successfully wrap that up.
I don't think you can not have loss, but it does have to be treated differently. I mean, we're not talking G, we're talking 7.
Yeah.
Right? So I think people can die, but it has to be handled really carefully.
Yeah.
You can't just go around killing people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not in the way that two Jedi, three Jedi, there's three Jedi currently floating around this universe who are not present in any of the movies thus far. And you got to reckon with that. And I wonder if that's where the comics come in some ways. Like, it's very gently handled on Rebels, and then the comics get into it. I don't know.
Give you the rest of it. That's an interesting thought. Yeah.
Well, I don't feel like Clone Wars ever pulled any punches, and I haven't felt like Rebels has been pulling any since the
But Clone
transition.
Wars was on
Cartoon Network.
I'm aware of that. I'm just talking about the overall, like my feeling with Rebels, because they've killed plenty of bad guys off, named bad guys, voice acted by very famous, very talented actors.
Yeah, but that's bad guys.
right? Yeah, but
and you don't really see them die.
See them fall to their death, and you do the same like falling off into a pit. Like they could do that with any, I think, of the named good guys, and kids could move on with their lives.
Well, there's a difference between what we actually think kids can deal with and what a network is willing to do and risk the ire of parents.
Yes. You should see. I can't. I'm not allowed to say what I know about the concerns that Disney executives have, even within the protected environment of Lucasfilm. Sure. And that to me is going to be a very interesting behind the scenes struggle.
No, it's a really good point.
You know, because I'm just going to leave it at that.
Dave Filoni is going to be able to talk people into doing things that other people can't.
But I think that's
how far can he push them? That's the question. Yeah.
Yes. Anyway.
Yeah.
I've now saved half of the things that I want to say for our topic of the day. So I'm just going to write another one down.
Okay, cool. And just to bookend this, I don't think we ever brought this up. In early January, the voice actress for Ahsoka was in an interview and teased that yes, there is a future for Ahsoka Tano.
Oh, good. Right. Okay. So yeah, I wouldn't have guessed against that.
Yeah. No. I think they would have left it even more ambiguous if they were trying to gently deal with a death of a major character on a kid show. So, anyways, if you like me haven't watched that finale in a while, go do it because it's even more badass than I remember. So let's get into our big topic of the day, which is, I believe, originally planned to be a talk about how quiet and tight-lipped Lucasfilm has been overall on The Last Jedi. And I have a feeling we're going to get deeper into other things that I may not have seen coming because of all of the holding things back that Jenny has done.
I may not even be correct about this, but I feel like we knew a lot more about Force Awakens this close to release than we do about Episode 8, The Last Jedi. If nothing else, we had that teaser, right, over the holidays.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And things were starting to dribble out. So I'm guessing that teaser we got over the holidays for Force Awakens, they delayed, and we're going to see that at Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, I certainly think there's a difference between Star Wars that has to make its bones after being away and terrible before that, and all that is pretty different from a marketing perspective than Star Wars that made like bazillions of dollars with two movies. So well, I think now they get to play their game.
They didn't risk undermining another Star Wars movie by putting out that teaser for Force Awakens, whereas Rogue One needed all the attention this holiday.
Yeah. So, and I think, you know what? I do remember, though, like, they didn't start talking about Rogue One until The Force Awakens was safely out on DVD.
Well, and there was a lot of reshoots being done.
Also true.
We haven't heard anything about that happening with Episode 8, but there also may be a lot of conversations about should we make changes to this story, given the fact that Carrie Fisher can't be in Episode 9.
Mm-hmm. Mm. There's a lot of work that has to be done with the end of Episode 8 that I don't think would have had to have been done 2 months ago. So the one thing we do know from the foreign language trailers, right?
Is
that thank God for other romance languages, because it turns out The Last Jedi is plural.
Yes. The adjectives in languages that require plurality are all plural when translated.
Yes. And that's exciting. Because obviously we know there's at least two Jedi rattling around at last we saw people in The Force Awakens. But
are there two?
Well, there's at least one and one who wants to be.
Okay. Right? Yeah. Right.
Okay.
There's a fallen Jedi.
Right.
Then there's a wannabe Jedi.
Right.
Or a potential Jedi, I guess. Not even a wannabe. Right.
Well, and then there's Luke, who's the only actual Jedi. There's Rey, who is gifted Force sensitive. And
so if there's plural, who do you think the other one is?
Can I please say it? Because I've been holding it the whole episode. There's at least three Jedi in Rebels that are completely unaccounted for in a thing where they can't die. So I'm just saying that even if they don't appear, I think it would be a little, I still think the properties are separated enough that they wouldn't appear, but there's something about that white lightsaber that I feel like is not an accident. I'll go that far.
How was the white lightsaber not an accident? Like in how, what I'm asking is,
yeah.
What are you getting on about as it relates to the films?
I think that white lightsaber that Rey is holding on the toy packaging had at one point belonged to Ahsoka Tano.
Whoa, wait. The lightsaber she's wearing on the she's wielding on the toy packaging is blue and it's Luke's.
I thought it was white.
No.
Oh, everything is ruined.
No.
But not, because the larger point still holds, which is that there are three unaccounted for kind of sort of Jedis, almost Jedis, would have been Jedis. Floating around. Wait, what?
No, keep going.
Floating around the Star Wars universe. And if any character in episode 8 is like old, bearded, and blind, we know what's going on. Like, I think Kanan is the character most likely to make some sort of appearance or reference. I think we're only allowed to have references. But
yeah, I think Ezra's gone. I think he's doomed.
Ezra is some sort of toast.
Kanan could be around. I just had the thought, what if what Luke was doing was visiting the remains of the last Jedi? He visited Obi-Wan. He visited Yoda. And so he then has to go and seek the last resting place of Ahsoka. Well, she's not actually a Jedi, but he seeks her anyway, Kanan and Ezra.
Well, she would have been a Jedi because she completed her trials.
Well, they basically kicked her out.
Yeah, but they offered it to her. So like she did all the hard part that she would have had to. Oh, my God, I'm spinning out.
Well, they basically in the novel, she says, I'm not a Jedi. So right. That's kind of. Yeah. Luke could consider her that.
Well, that's part of the conflict in the novel is everyone keeps calling her a Jedi and she's like, I'm not a Jedi. Stop calling me that.
And what if that's what he was doing?
Right.
And I don't know how that fits into why he disappeared or what, you know, but what if he discovered something about Ezra that was evil? And
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Stuff
he
is
saw
going down.
Something in a parallel between Ezra's fall and Ben Solo's fall and was like, oh, my gosh, I'm making the same mistakes Kanan made. I don't know.
They're not setting this all up so carefully and crossing over so many characters that we can't have a little fun with this upcoming movie. I'm just saying. Definitely. I think it won't be any more than General Syndulla, please report. But I still think there's potential. That being said, oh my God, can we please get some information about Star Wars: The Last Jedi?
It's coming. It's coming with Star Wars Celebration.
It's coming. You're right.
Gotta be holding.
We just need to be patient.
They've got to be waiting for that big convention that I'm going to because it's basically in my backyard.
What are you dressing up as again?
I'm working on my Kylo Ren costume.
All right.
Got my helmet. Trying to remember how to sew again. Haven't done that in a while.
I came to the terrifying conclusion that if I were to go to Star Wars Celebration, my only current appropriate costume for my age is old Leia, General Leia.
That would be badass.
Like, that's the costume
you are
I can
so
fit into.
Not that old.
No, but... dude. Come on. That's the costume I can fit into. That's the hair I can do. Like, that's me. I'm General Organa.
I would wear my Star Trek in the Star Wars font t-shirt and just get beat up all day.
As far as I'd like to get a little nerdy here with
really now?
Yes, a little even nerdier, even by Star Wars
standards.
Well,
we're out of time, folks.
Because I saved a thought on the subject of white lightsabers, and I think the greater thing that they represent, which is kind of this non-affiliation to the binary light and dark of Force sensitives. That was even Dave Filoni mentioned, I think, in an early interview after Ahsoka was revealed to be in Rebels, that was the whole reason they were white. It was like, this represents her non-affiliation with the Jedi. Or Sith.
It's all the colors, right? Yeah, it's red and blue and green and purple.
Yeah, or a lack thereof. It's basically like neutral Jedi. And that, I'm curious if that's going to be where the road we go down as we go further into the new trilogy, because otherwise, like what where are we going? Where do we want it to go? What do we want the moral of the story to be? Because certainly, like, as a Star Wars fan, watching everything that's been out there, reading everything that's been considered canon at this point, I mean, yes, the Sith are evil, but the Jedi, clearly, they didn't have it right either. It seems like their entire belief system is also flawed to a certain degree, and that's where I look to Ahsoka and what they've been doing with her story as maybe they're testing the waters. Maybe they're hinting at what they're going to be, at the road they're going to be traveling down as we move into The Last Jedi.
You raise a tremendously fascinating point, and it reminds me of a real life quandary with religions that don't allow personal attachments, which is to say, like, all right, we've got the Catholic Church. You're not allowed to marry if you're a priest, whatever, whatever. And that's been debated whether that's wise for like 1,000+ years. So if you've got this Jedi order, that's a monastic order, right? And they were sort of like, I mean, let's be honest, like the core Jedi Council was a bunch of prideful Yoda. I'm trying to think of a word that's not a bad word, but they're pretty prideful. And arrogant. And maybe that wasn't such a good idea. I mean, the only Jedi that Luke Skywalker knows was old Obi-Wan. And old Obi-Wan was very different than even like young Obi-Wan in the council. So
he knows Yoda, like, better than Obi-Wan, though.
Well, right. Yeah. And Yoda, but it's also like humble Yoda.
Yeah.
Right. And so you think
we're going to get Episcopalian Jedis?
I think we might be headed towards Episcopalian Jedis, in which Rey is allowed to, because like Rey should be allowed to be a Jedi and also marry Finn. That's where I think I was going with this. Unless Finn wants to marry Poe, and I'm okay with that too.
Yeah, and especially like if the simplest answer ends up being true, which is that Luke is the father of Rey. I would really appreciate if they went down that road, because otherwise I'm just like, well, I'm not surprised by Luke being Rey. Yeah. Hopefully they go down an interesting narrative from this point, which is, well, Luke clearly had a relation and Rey is the offspring of that. And look how good she turned out. Clearly there's some good in this.
Right.
And we can even look to stories that they've told in Clone Wars with, you know, Obi-Wan's past. And yeah, so that's, I don't know, that's where I'm hoping it's going. Maybe it's just because I have Ahsoka on the brain because I just read the novel, but that's the story I would like to see told, or at least addressed.
The very nature of Jediism,
mm-hmm.
right?
Both,
like, is light right? Is dark right? Is it all just a bunch of people arguing about dumb stuff, and you should just be nice to people and that's enough? Like, you know, I don't know. Like, I think it would be unsatisfying to me if they did not in some way address, since we've learned so much in Clone Wars and in Rebels about the grander philosophy. If they didn't at least touch on that, I feel like they'd be missing an opportunity.
Yeah. So, and I don't know what form or like what shape that takes, but that's where I've been spinning my Star Wars brain lately.
Yep. Well, Ahsoka, Mara Jade, we've got good ladies floating out there just waiting to show up.
I'm still hoping for an Ahsoka movie at some point.
Fingers crossed.
Please. Please. So, did you all take a look at the makingstarwars.net piece on the state of the galaxy as like leading into The Last Jedi?
I will now. Please start talking about it.
Well, I think most of it is like, if you watch the movie, you know it. But I think the single biggest point in this is it kind of points out that the Republic has just full on collapsed after the events of Force Awakens. And so it almost seems like they're setting up like a civil war type scenario, because there's talk about sides must be chosen. So that was the revelation I found interesting, was that. Everything else
I could see, with the success of Captain America Civil War, wanting to kind of push that narrative a little bit. I hope they don't push it just because of that, but just sort of maybe, you know, reflect that out to people, like, hey, this is a civil war. This is now, a torn down republic, and we are back to a more severe situation than the separatists versus the republic, because there is no capital anymore. There is no leadership.
Yeah. And I like that. It's an interesting way to, you know, inject turmoil again and have it be different from what we've already gone through with the other two trilogies.
You know who would be good to bring peace and order back to the galaxy?
Darth
Vader. A couple of Jedi. Maybe the last of them.
Kylo Ren.
Just thinking it through.
Yeah, what if Kylo Ren turns good, man? What if we see Kylo redeem himself?
Blow up a planet and then kill your dad and then become good.
Were mistakes made? Yes.
Kylo didn't press the button. He was standing on his Star Destroyer just watching the pretty lights.
Looking annoyed or contemplative or something. But I, there's usually only one outcome for people who have that many F-ups in the Star Wars universe, and that is Force Ghostem. So there you go.
Force Ghostem. I like that.
Force Ghostem.
Yeah, so no one here thinks so. We're going to see a Kylo turn.
Oh, I think he's going to be redeemed in the end. Yeah. I think whether Jenny's right about him being redeemed and dying at the same time.
Like, he doesn't get to open a cantina and just be like, I'm Ben.
Oh, he takes over Maz Kanata's place, rebuilds it. Sorry, I destroyed your cantina.
But I'll build it better this time, I promise. So you're thinking he's going to get exactly what he wants. He's going to end up in the exact same fate as his grandfather.
Yeah.
He does have a parallel story. I like to think that he'll have a different ending because we have different characters and it'll work out differently for all of them.
Yeah. Well, alrighty then. I believe that brings us to the end of this episode.
Oh, yeah.
White lightsabers are cool, man.
Lightsabers are cool. Rey might be a gray Jedi. Did we say that? I don't know. Yeah, that just came out of my mouth.
That's cool.
That was the point I was getting at.
And Kanan might still be alive. So there you go. This is what you've learned.
Yep.
I can dig it. Well, let's go around the table. Jenny Josephson, when you are not talking about Star Wars, where can people find you possibly also talking about Star Wars?
That is actually true. I talk about Star Wars at Marketplace all the time. And I do produce a podcast called Make Me Smart with Kai Rizdahl and Molly Wood. And we have a lot of fun. We just talked to the CEO of Reddit, and he's very Reddity. So you should check that out. It's at marketplace.org/makemesmart.
When he started saying something you didn't like, did you just yell downvote in the middle of the interview?
So tempting. Block. No, but I thought a lot about I thought a lot about the Daily Tech News Show Reddit mods while we were doing that interview. And I hope we at least got them some interesting stuff to listen to. So that's all.
Cool. Very cool. Well, how about yourself, Tom Merritt?
Well, in addition to the Daily Tech News Show that was just referenced and its awesome mods on its subreddit, I've got a book coming out called Pilot X. And it is available to be ordered on Amazon early. It's not supposed to come out till March 14th, but apparently they're shipping some. And you can find it in bookstores. So if you're looking for a time travel story and you like something that moves along quickly, but hints at a wider world, and you might want to check it out. Pilot X, available to bookstores.
Are you like the next James S. A. Corey or something? Like what's going on?
No, I'm not nearly as good as those guys.
Is this the breakout book? What's going to happen?
I don't. No, I don't think so.
At what point?
I'm going to predict yes. I'm just going there and putting it out that Pilot X is going to be the Martian of 2019.
Wow.
I can't remember the Martian guy's name. I should.
Andy Weir.
Thank you. Tom Merritt, Andy Weir of 2019. There.
In the near future, Tom Merritt will be writing a Star Wars book.
I was just reading all my Goodreads reviews before the show, which is why I'm like, no.
Oh, you know, whatever.
Never read your own reviews, kids.
Dude, you can make anything imaginative into a movie, and you have the best imagination of anyone I've ever met. So there you go.
Thank you.
Folks, if you want to see more of me on the web, you can follow me on Twitter at Garrett Art. All of the podcasts I do can be found at amove.tv. And I would recommend checking out my solo show, The Angry Nerd, because there's a couple episodes about a couple episodes back, where I got really, really deep and nerdy into my Star Wars pen and paper RPG habit that has just reignited. So
nice.
If you're into that, go check that out. And if you haven't already, go play some damn Star Wars pen and paper RPG, because it is fun. I missed this in my childhood, so I'm jamming it all in now that I've apparently become an adult. So there is that.
You're an adult. You can do what you want.
Exactly. Damn it. If you're listening to us on iTunes, drop us some reviews that apparently Tom Merritt says we should not read. We appreciate them. And
just don't write anything. Just give us 5 stars. That's all we
just have. Just 5 stars. We thank you. Also, thank you to the Andrew Allen Trio for our intro and outro music. You can find more of their work over at andrewallentrio.com/music. That's going to do it for this episode. Until next time, may the force be with you.
Always.
And also with Mara Jade.